Welcome to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander, the crossroads where culture, lifestyle, and community meet, all hosted by the legendary New York radio TV personality and proud Harlem American, G. Keith Alexander.
Well, hey, welcome to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. Wherever you are, I appreciate you for joining our neighborhood as we hang out together in Harlem America. Now, today, in the What's Hot spotlight is Tyrone Jackson. Tyrone is renowned for his expertise in stock market investing and financial education. He has empowered countless individuals through his teachings, books, and the popular podcast Trading Stocks Made Easy. We look forward to delving into his successful strategies for building wealth and his significant impact on enhancing financial literacy within our community. So it is my distinct honor and pleasure to say that Tyrone Jackson is What's Hot.
Oh, man, that is so nice. How are you today? Thank you so much for having me on, Jake.
Oh, man. Hey, I am so thrilled to have you on. And, you know, full disclosure to our audience, I've known you for many years.
Yes.
And we've had some great conversations. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dig into some of your early beginnings. Like I usually ask all of my guests to join me on the Wayback Machine. And we take the Wayback Machine and we want to find out, what was it like growing up as little Tyrone Jackson?
Well, first of all, since we're going on the Wayback Machine, you are part of that machine. And I grew up in Staten Island, New York, where I was born in Harlem, actually. But right. I spent my formative years in Staten Island. And I used to listen to you on the radio, whether it was at WBLS, or was it K-Rock?
Kiss FM.
Kiss FM, right? And so, 105. So, like, you were, like, famous to me, right? And where I come from, you don't meet a lot of famous people. So when the day came and I met you, I was like, wow. And I tell you this story all the time. I can't believe I have G. Keith Alexander's phone number, and I can call him, and he'll pick up. So as far as I'm concerned, you are a legendary broadcaster from a style of broadcasting that I absolutely love and adore. And, you know, I tell you that all the time, but I had to tell you that on the show. So as we go way back, you are very much a part of my history, my friend.
Well, it's so nice of you to say, wow. Wow. Yeah. So you were born in Harlem, but how'd you get to Staten Island?
Well, you'd have to ask my mother that, because she made the decision. But I was born 145th Street, and we wound up in the South Bronx for a little while. And ultimately, we wound up in federally subsidized housing in Staten Island. So we didn't have any money. I always like to say the government paid for our heat. And it was a clean environment. My mother was like, She explained to me, if I could get you to Staten Island, I feel like you have a shot of at least growing up. Mm-hmm. Well, the rest is up to you. So, which is really interesting because, you know, like today I'm an entrepreneur and, you know, the whole wealth thing and the Hollywood issue, which we'll get to later. But my earliest memory of like success and happiness was maybe around 12 years old. Like I really wanted to be rich. I didn't want to live like everybody else in my neighborhood. But the problem is at 12, you don't know how that works. So I just wound up listening to people who were financially successful, but I knew I wanted to be in show business. Like I was born to be in show business. So I figured it'll all sort of kind of work itself out. But I did all the things that every other kid does in the neighborhood. And I, you know, when I'm talking to people, I think failure is so important because, gee, I failed at everything. I really did. You know, when you grow up around a neighborhood and the guys get together to play touch football.
Yeah.
And I remember we would put our sneakers in a circle and we would choose who would be picked and all that. I was always picked last. I was terrible at football. They only threw the ball to me. I mean, there was like no resort. It was like, oh, Tyrone. So, and at baseball, I could hit the ball, but I wasn't a great runner. I remember being not good at so many things, but I learned so much from not being good, right? I learned that there was like a system if you wanted to get good at something. And I was able to put those pieces of the puzzle together to have the life that I do today.
Well, it's amazing. I remember first seeing you, didn't know you, but here in New York, we had something called Teleprompter, and it was public access TV. And you were 16 years old, and I remember seeing you on TV with a Johnny Carson-type show. You had the desk. You had someone sitting in the chair across from the desk, and you had comedy. You were doing your comedy thing. And I'm saying, look at this little guy. Boy, wow. I never knew. I never even thought of meeting you. I didn't know that, you know, that was – we'd ever meet or anything. But I do remember watching you on that show at 16 years old. So how did you get the you got the entertainment bug from what? How?
It was just in me. And I would say, Mom, how do you get into show business? And she goes, first of all, this is what my mother told me. I remember this around 9 years old. She goes, well, there's an application you have to fill out. I was like, there's an application for show business? She had found some camp where you could go. And she was just like, I'm going to fill out this application. I'm going to send you to camp. She didn't have the money. And so I kept going, where's my application for show business? What happened to my application for show business? And she couldn't tell me, I don't have the money to send you. She goes, well, next year we're going to fill that application out and you're going to go into show business. But, you know, when it's really in you to entertain people, I discovered community theater. Because it was an announcement at school, like the local community theater was looking for kids to form a kids workshop. I saved my money. I got on the bus. I went to the other side of Staten Island. Wow. And I was in community theater and I was in shows and building sets. And I felt, you know, like myself. Mm-hmm. So, and then someone else goes, hey, you should go over here. And the most important thing about community theater was I got to learn what a script was and what acting was and how to become a character and all of that for free. Because when you have no money, you can become very resourceful. Well, my talent got to the point where, and then also I was in the music program at my local junior high school. And I learned how to play an instrument. And apparently my musical skills were pretty good because it got me into New York City's High School of Performing Art, if you remember the movie Fame.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And when I got there, the talent level, because you're with the most talented kids in the city and, you know, their parents are famous, everything went to the next level from there. And then that's when I learned, oh, you need an agent. And there was a labor union. And the business of show started to reveal itself. So I'm just putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. Like, is this still an application? No. There's no application. Well, how do you do it? You need headshots. Okay, headshots. And then so you got to find a photographer. And I just put it together from there.
And somehow we wound up at the same agency, one of the best agencies for voiceovers and TV commercials. At the time, it was Cunningham Escott DePeany, now it's CESD Talent.
Correct.
And so we ended up there. So we spent, but even before that, you reminded me that we were at a conference to learn how to buy radio stations back in the late 70s.
Yes.
And tell the story, please.
So what happens is, there's no application for show business, but there are all these events that was, you remember the Amsterdam News in Harlem, right?
Right.
Still that said on. Minority radio ownership thing. And I was like, because I could go to anything that was free. If it was free, I was there. I would at least get some information on how all of this worked, right? So my father goes, I'm going to take you to that conference. Why? Because it's free. That fits our budget, right? So we get there. I have on some, and I've got the public access TV show. And by the way, David Alan Grier to this day goes, I used to love your show. So we used to watch it, right? Uh-huh. And we get to this conference, and this is the thing about my family. We were late for everything. I hate being late. Conference started at 10. We're there at 10:20. Why? How come we weren't there early? Because we're just always behind. So we get there. And there's a seat like in the corner. And we got a little pamphlet and kit. And people are talking about demographics and advertising and all of that. And I look at the guy in front of me and it's you. I'm like, that's from the side. I think that's G. Keith Alexander, right? And they go, and it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for our first break. And we'll be back in 10 minutes. And you stand up and you look over at me, and you go, how you doing? I'm like, hi. Like, oh my, like I'm I don't know about my application, but that guy just said hello to me. Be cool. Right. So like I just kept getting confirmations that I was in the right place at the right time. But if it was free, I was there because I was like, you gotta learn how this game works. So because right after that, someone said, you need an agent. So I got some headshots. There was a newspaper named Backstage. Remember that?
Right, right.
Went to a couple of auditions. I landed the part in some of these small off-Broadway shows. And that's how I got my first agent, because someone said, hey, a friend of mine starting a management company, and he can get you in to meet agents. This is at the audition. And before you know it, I had an agent. I wound up at a number of agencies, but CED at the time. Mm-hmm. And they had an African-American division in the television commercials. And somebody said, you should be on TV. I was like, really? Yeah, doing commercials. And when I walked into the agency, this is all hail G. Keith Day, by the way. they said, have you ever thought about doing voiceovers? And I was like, well, what's a voiceover? Well, you know, that line, that voice that comes in at the end or beginning of a TV commercial, we think you could do that. And I remember the woman goes, here's this copy, read this. And I was like, Kraft macaroni and cheese. Mm-mm. That's good eating or whatever it was. She goes, you need to take some classes, but I think you could do this. And maybe over time, I swear to you, I'm not making this up. She goes, maybe you could be like a G. Keith Alexander. I was like,
she said that?
Yeah, yeah. One of the assistants at CED.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And I, you know, you have that beautiful baritone voice. I was like, well, I don't know about that, but if they think I could make money. So I learned how to do voiceovers. And that's when we really started to see each other. Mm-hmm. At all these auditions and bookings around the city. And I listen, I'm going to tell one more G. Keith story.
Okay.
At that time, there were all of these, there were three black ad agencies, remember, in New York. Mm-hmm. And they knew the talent because they were hiring the same people over and over. And man, we went in and we did one day. I don't know if you remember this. We have this big studio. You did 15, we call them spots, 15 spots for AT&T. And I was in one of Ruben Santiago, who went on to win a Tony and all that. And you were so friendly to everybody because, you know, the announcers in every spot. And we were in that studio all day and you just read every line perfectly. And so now I'm a professional. I'm like, how do you do that? Because, you know, you had that thing. And at AT&T, only 50% off if you do. And you just kept your stamina up. And I was there for two commercials. You were there for 15. I was like, he's making money. He's getting that money like that. Why is he here for 15 commercials? I'm here for two. So then I was like, I better learn this business and take it seriously. But it was you. You remember Roscoe?
Oh, yeah, Roscoe.
Roscoe, beautiful voices, beautiful storytellers. Yeah. A guy named Ron Foster at the time. And of course, Hugh Morgan. Backcourt. These are people you hear on television all the time. And I would think, I'm going to try to be as good as them to compete and make this money. Because it was fabulous money.
Oh, yes.
So you guys were really behind the scenes. You were so inspirational to me because you were making fabulous bank. And I was like, well, I don't have that mighty voice, but I can learn how to use what I have. And I got pretty good at it. So you guys really, you know, were excellent professionals. And I was like, okay, now that I'm in showbiz, I have to focus on being excellent, right? So I can compete at a certain level.
And you realize you did not need the application.
I don't know where that application is today. It was like 15 years ago. I was like, your mother didn't have any money to that camp.
Now, let me tell this story. I remember we were at an audition, a bunch of the, you know, the pros, we were all sitting at an audition, and you walk in and you sit in the middle and you pull out this flyer that you were going to start teaching voiceovers. We started laughing.
Oh my God. And I had missed because I figured give the flyers and the cards out to voiceover people because they get asked, right?
Yeah.
I had misspelled something at the bottom of the flyer. I was giving out cards and flyers. You were like, how are you gonna teach voiceover? You can't even spell class starts here, right? And I was just like, my only retort was, if I were West Indian, I'd have 16 jobs. And now I'm just trying to get another job, and you guys are hassling me, right?
Well, we thought you was a young guy. You know, we had been doing this for a while, and you just started doing it, you know, for a couple of years, you know, or whatever. And now you wanted to teach, you know. Oh, yeah. So we thought it was funny. But you started your thing, though.
That class was very successful. You know how many successful, because the one thing I learned about teaching is you're going to learn. You're a teacher and the student. Mm-hmm. I got better teaching that class. Mm-hmm. I was teaching Broadway actors and the whole thing. And I helped them get started and get an agent because I had an agent that came to my class. So again, failure. I wasn't afraid to fail. I don't care what was on that flyer. Let me tell you something. That turned into a lucrative business, teaching twice, because I had this beautiful apartment, teaching twice. Mm-hmm. And that really launched my whole entrepreneurial thing.
Well, we're going to talk about your entrepreneurial bent that has now catapulted you into making millionaires out of people who want to do something with their money, and also your TV studio that you built out in Burbank. We'll be talking about that. Right now, though, I do want to remind people before we go into break that I'm with Mr. Tyrone Jackson, and he's got two shows on Tubi. One is called After Midnight with Tyrone Jackson, and the other is called what?
Hot in Hollywood.
Hot in Hollywood. So you might want to check him out on Tubi later on today. And we want to remind you that Harlem America, we've got some great articles for you, as well as some great TV shows and some radio shows. And we want you to download our app. Our app is mobile, and also you can have it on your big TV screen. I know you got a big TV screen, so you can put it on your big TV screen as well. All right. So check out HarlemAmerica.com, and we'll be back. We're going to take a little short break. We'll be back with Mr. Tyrone Jackson. Thank you for listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander.
Have you ever thought about hosting your own radio podcast to establish fame, fortune, and followers for your small business? People listen to them, they subscribe to them, and they love them. As a small Black business owner, doesn't that sound like something you'd like to be a part of? Well, you can when you hire the radio podcast pros at Harlem America Digital Network. Imagine, you'll have a team of creative and technical professionals at your disposal and a one-hour weekly radio podcast to spread the word about your business. Making your business successful with its own media is not for the faint of heart, but it can happen with a Harlem America radio podcast talk show. Get a free consultation by emailing gkeithalexander at harlemamerica.com or call D. Daniels at 480-553-5741 today.
You're listening to Harlem America.
I love it a lot.
For entertainment.
Check it out. Check it out.
Empowerment and health and wellness. Harlem America. The home of Glasso Smart Water is Harlem America. Harlem America. Where Coca-Cola is helping you enjoy less sugar. You're listening to Harlem America, talking to the world from the heart and soul of New York.
You're listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. To reach our show live today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Also, you can send an email to gkeithalexander@harlemamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Thank you, Kever. Hey, Kever's out there in Hollywood. She's a big voiceover artist as well. Mm-hmm. So, Tyrone, mm-hmm. I remember the day when you told me that you found this book by Wade Cook.
Yes.
And you were really hyped on this book. And you said, gee, Keith, I'm going to learn how to trade stocks.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me that story.
Okay. So you remember my little voiceover class?
Yes.
That was a cash business, right? And I know how show business works for all of us. Your money's always up and down. There are good periods, bad periods. I don't care if you're famous or not. So I knew that I was supposed to do something with the money that I have, which is called investing. And so I started out, I had enough money put together to buy a piece of real estate. I didn't like being a landlord. My father goes, "You're probably a stock market guy." I was like, "Well, what is that?" He goes, "You know, you can buy and sell stocks." And in those days, the internet had just been invented, so I could buy and sell stocks online. He goes, "I'm going to get you some books and tapes, and I want you to become a stock market trader." Now, I didn't know I'd become a millionaire based on what my father said, but he was my father. I trusted him. And he said, "Go home and read this book and watch the videotapes." It was like 17s. "I bought them from you, and I want you to go and learn how to do that." And something clicked when it came to buying a stock and selling a stock. It was almost like a soulmate experience. I was like, I could do that. And all you do is buy it, and then you tell the software inside your account to sell it when the stock goes up 50 cents or a dollar. It wasn't day trading. It was just general trading. And this guy, Wade Cook, explained this whole system. He goes, "And if you do this within 39 months, you'll be a millionaire." Now, let's move on. And he didn't make a big deal about the millionaire thing. And I'm like, hold up. If you do this for 36 months, you'll be a millionaire. Like, what happens in the second 36 months? Well, you make another $1 million. I'm like, wait a minute. We got to go back, because I didn't want to be broke. And I just felt like this was something that I could do. So as I was studying it, I started telling people, "Do you know about the stock market and buying and selling stocks?" And anybody could do it. Now, most of my friends were in the entertainment business. And I had two groups of friends. One group who was just like, "Yeah, we've been doing that for years." "What? And you didn't tell me?" They were like, "You didn't ask." And then I had another group who was extremely negative. And they would say, "That doesn't work. You're just wasting your time. It's totally a scam." So I would go, "Well, why are there two people, groups of people? One group says, yes, this totally works. And the other group says no." And after I did a little research, I realized that all of the money that you make in your life is based on your belief system. That's why I was hanging out with one group, and they were making $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 trading while they were on television. And then the other group was saying, "That's a waste of time. That'll never work." That led me to kind of like a social science experience. Like, well, why do some people have money and wealth and others don't? And I realized that if your primary caregivers don't teach you about the manifestation of money, then you are locked out of that game. You just won't believe it when someone goes, "Why don't you go home and make $10,000? I came from nothing. I had nothing to lose. My mother told me when I was growing up, the best thing that ever happened to you is you get a job where you can earn overtime. But the more you make, the more they take, meaning the IRS, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, that ain't the ticket, because everybody has a job just above broke. They say that's what job stands for. Mm-hmm. They're not happy. But people who have financial freedom are doing all kinds of things in vacation. I want to be in that group. So I knew I had the cash from the voiceover business. I was doing okay on the TV side. If I could just get this money to grow through trading stocks, I'd have a shot at being a millionaire. And that's what I did. And that's what happened.
Very, very interesting. And the way you did it, I remember when you started teaching other people.
You
developed a system for you, and now you figured that you would now multiply or leverage that system into teaching other people.
Correct.
And you would make even more money.
Yes.
While they're making money.
That's right. So everybody was winning. So I realized that essentially I was just going to explain to this audience who I was, my life, my career, everything that had happened to me, and how this shift in consciousness created hundreds of thousands of dollars in residual income. And the universe is a very funny place, because it always sends you the right people at the right time. A buddy of mine, when I was thinking about teaching, because it wasn't just teaching for the money. I am one of those people that will always try to help other people. It's just in my nature. And a buddy of mine called from San Francisco. He goes, "You have been on my mind. And I feel like you should be in the seminar business." And I go, "Well, what's that?" He goes, "You know, when you get 100 people in a hotel room, you charge them and you teach them." And I go, nah, that's not really, that's not for me. Because I had built a house. I was married. I had kids. I had worked out a nice little routine. And he goes, well, I make $40,000 a weekend. Okay, you want me to do what? He goes, you know, just get on stage and explain to people how this works. And he goes, I will be your mentor for free just so I have someone to talk to.
Mm.
And my wife at the time was like, you need to talk to someone, because she wasn't down with all the charts and the paper. I was like, do you realize how much money you can make? Mm-hmm. So my friend at the time goes, I will talk to you once a week. I will teach you how to grow your seminar business. And once it gets to a certain point, I will hook you up with the seminar business. You can come out here and you can teach people in San Francisco. And I go, what do you want? He goes, I don't want anything. I just want to help you grow this business. Now, I am a natural born performer.
Yes, you are.
I had to learn how to be a little bit more of a storyteller, how to use voice modulation to persuade people, how to tell stories, and then how to explain to them how the market worked. So that didn't take me very long, and I got really, really good at it. And my students started to earn $5,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month. So I was their guy. And my father used to go, life is tough as a black man, so you're going to have to learn how to maneuver in the system, is what he used to say to me. I was like, what does that mean? But all of a sudden I have this business, and he goes, and I thought, oh, I think I'd probably grow faster if I start teaching artists, because they would accept my journey and my story, right? And there would be less discrimination, and I could probably fill that room with editors and writers and people who had done well. And that's what I did.
And it's called the Wealthy Investor.
Yes, the Wealthy Investor Program. It started off as the Wealthy Artist Program. But when I had this opportunity to go to Silicon Valley and start teaching people out there, we changed it to the Wealthy Investor. And it's become a multi-million dollar brand. And if I added up all the money that my students make trading, we'd be in the millions. And I love it. I love helping them and their families. And then we created different levels, and then derivatives trading. And then we meet in Hawaii once a year at this 5-star hotel, have a big Wealthy Investor event.
Well, I was fortunate enough to attend one of your events. My friend, Dr. Faith Brown, invited me because you told your students that they could bring one person. So she knew I was interested, but she also knew that I knew you. So it would be a great, really a big thrill for me to sit and watch you actually do your thing. And I mean, you throw comedy in, you get down to the dollars and the cents of it, and it all makes a lot of sense. And it's a simple process that you show your students. How they can follow this formula. And it was great. It was a really great thrill for me to be able to see this young man who I have known since your early 20s, but I first saw you when you were 16 years old on TV. So I'm just really proud of you. You have come a long way. So we can't leave out the fact that people have made millions of dollars from your program.
Absolutely.
And you travel. Let folks know where they can find you. Folks, some of our audience may be interested in making millions of dollars, too.
Yes.
And
yes.
Let them know how they can find you.
Well, simply go to thewealthyinvestor.net and download the free ebook. Even if you know nothing about investing, I would say if you went to the fourth grade and you can count, you can make money in the stock market. And I know that sounds very salesy, but that's really how it works. And the problem in our country is that most people don't have a financial education, so they don't know what is possible. And participating in the stock market, because of the digital world now, is easier than ever, right? But if no one shows up in your life to explain to you how the financial markets work, you are locked out. Let's go back to this notion about your belief system, right? So for example, if I say to someone, hey, can I help you make an extra $500 a month trading in the stocks? They go, sure. How about $5,000? They go, okay, great. Hey, can I help you make $50,000? Hey, Tyrone, wait a minute. What kind of scam are you running? And the difference is not just the denomination in dollars. It's what you believe to be true. And that's how I went from being raised by a single mom in federally subsidized housing to, you know, today I'm here at my home in Malibu, right? And then I have another home in upstate New York. Why am I living this life? Because I'm some unique genius? No. I had an open mind. I was so open, knowledge could flow through. And when you have an open mind, the universe will support you and bring you extraordinary people. So as I'm teaching people how to trade and I'm growing my business, I suddenly realize, wait a minute, I could use this money I'm making from the stock market to go back to my creative life and finance a whole entertainment enterprise. Because see, here's the thing, G, in life, what I have learned, it's not about what you earn. It's about the amount of residual income you earn. So if you can build something that then kicks you $5, $10, $15, $20,000 a month, you can finance things out of that. So I said, I'm going to grow this business to this dollar amount, and then I will be the bank. And I will start financing entertainment content in the digital world and turn that into millions of dollars in residual streams. Got it? So I was still being me, because I would never walk away from the wealthy investor. I thought about it. I'm like, nah, this is me. But I'll grow another brand out of this that represents my creative life. Because then I learned how to write. I learned how to direct. I learned how to light. And I didn't want to chuck all of that because now I started this brand. So why don't I grow this entertainment business out of the stock market? And it's all financed by the market. That was an amazing thought. But to learn how to think that way, I had to start to be around amazing people, right? Because birds of a feather always flock together. And what do we have in common? It's our consciousness about what is possible. And when you open your mind in that very powerful way, the universe will propel you forward quickly. It doesn't take a lot of time.
I concur with everything that you've just said. You've crystallized my belief, certainly, that, eagles soar together, and, you may have an affection for the crow, but the crow is not flying as high as you. And hopefully, you know, you can't lift them, but so high. So, mm-hmm. But you do your best. And how many people have you had in your classes that have listened to your teachings and felt as though they just couldn't hang and they dropped out?
Oh, that is a very common thing. That number is low, but I when I started, there's always a couple of people every year. They come up with a reason why I got to stop taking this class. And I remember that there were two individuals, because now I don't go to Silicon Valley anymore. It was too much travel. I do New York and LA. So I'm at the Hilton here in Universal City this weekend. Then I fly to New York to do my thing. I'm only at Hilton hotels, by the way. So I had two guys, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, right? Mm-hmm. And they come to the program because some people know me from commercials and movies and things that I've been in. And some people now know me as the wealthy investor. I have two guys. One guy came in. He inherited some money when his mother passed away. And I had him about $30,000 a month because I realized it was some people needed coaching. They liked everything that I taught, but like, Tyrone, can I buy some private sessions with you to help me? And I go, yeah. You have to buy in threes. And then my assistant sets you up. And then I help you with your trading account. So I had this guy at 35,000 on the West Coast. On the East Coast, I had this guy who was a food stylist for radio and TV commercials. He made a great living. He was also at $35,000 a month in income. Mm-hmm. While still being a food stylist, a guy who makes everything look good on TV. They quit in the same week.
Really?
One guy on the West Coast said to me, because he goes, I need some time off because I'm not sure if you're making this money for me or I'm truly doing it on my own. The guy in New York, his father told him, you'll never amount to anything. Now he's at $35,000 a month in passive income. He was like, this program sucks.
What?
He was on his way to his first $400,000 a year as a trader, and he decided this doesn't work. So when I lost those two guys in the same week, I was like, what is happening? You would think people would be like, this is the greatest thing. But their internal ability to receive that kind of financial success was the blocker. So I learned if I'm going to help people make $35,000, $50,000, I have to have some system, some mechanism that allows them to receive that. Because if you start out making $35,000 because you met me, then everything that happened in your life before wasn't true. Whoever taught you about money, that wasn't true. When your parents said you got to work so hard, that wasn't true. You wound up rejecting your whole belief system, and people don't like that. Do you get that?
Yeah.
So the program took a shift. The Wealthy Investor Program took a shift when I wound up taking in people who already had $1 million. Because they were able, and these are all artists from Hollywood, set designers, Broadway conductors in New York, doctors, and every once in a while, you're going to get a lawyer. Try to keep them out. But the lawyers. So if they already had $1 million because they sold a property or their business was doing well, it's easier to get them to higher numbers. So, and then because I'm here in Hollywood, I have celebrities who I don't talk about. In between their movies, they're on the phone with me trading.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I have one guy, he goes away to do a movie, and everybody would know who this person is. They go away, they do a movie. While they're gone, they're making money on the set. And then when the movie's over, they come home and they make more money. And it takes a lot of time to work with celebrities because they don't trust you. They've been ripped off so much and all that. And they're like, how could this possibly be? So I wound up changing somebody who's already famous, being a positive vehicle in their life. So how much money you earn in your life is really based on how much you're willing to accept and what you believe to be true. And there are millions of dollars out there for all of us if you have the right mentor.
Well, I've got the right mentor. Tyrone Jackson, the Wealthy Investor, is here on What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. And don't forget, we're going to take a short break, but we've got this great article called Powerful Black Women in Country Music Have Been There All Along on HarlemAmerica.com. Check out that wonderful article. It talks about some of the black women who've been in country music before Beyonce. And it's really a great article written by Mr. Richard LaLight. I'm G. Keith Alexander, and we'll be right back with Mr. Tyrone, the Wealthy Investor Jackson.
Have you ever thought about hosting your own radio podcast to establish fame, fortune, and followers for your small business? People listen to them, they subscribe to them, and they love them. As a small black business owner, doesn't that sound like something that you'd like to be a part of? Well, you can when you hire the radio podcast pros at Harlem America Digital Network. Imagine, you'll have a team of creative and technical professionals at your disposal and a one-hour weekly radio podcast to spread the word about your business. Making your business successful with its own media is not for the faint at heart, but it can happen with a Harlem America radio podcast talk show. Get a free consultation by emailing gkeithalexander at harlemamerica.com or call D. Daniels at 480-553-5741 today.
Harlem America.
It's about Harlem.
Harlem is my town.
Carver Bank, where 80% of every dollar is reinvested in the community. Harlem America, the home of Coca-Cola Zero.
You're listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. To reach our show live today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Also, you can send an email to gkeithalexander@harlemamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, well, thank you so very, very much. We're with Mr. Tyrone Jackson. I am G. Keith Alexander, by the way. And we want to talk about Tyrone having this this TV show, actually two TV shows on Tubi. How did those shows come about?
Okay. So now I've got the wealthy investor business, right? I've got trading, which is financing this entertainment division. And like you, I have a podcast, right? So the place where I used to go do my podcast, the studio wasn't doing well. And I bought it, long story short, because I learned how to buy businesses because I was trading stocks. So I did a leverage deal, no cash up front. I'll take over this studio. And I wound up buying that business with a staff. While I'm in the studio, so now I could do my podcast for free, right? And then I understood, because of the voiceover business, the economics of renting out the studio, so on and so forth. And a celebrity friend of mine came in. He goes, you know, you can make TV shows out of here. I was like, no, I can't. He goes, I had a hit TV show. You can make TV shows out of here. And so he started to show me how to build a set and this little thing. And I said, okay, I'll do that. Now he goes, I'm going to introduce you to a guy in the TV business who makes shows and licenses them overseas. And I go, okay. So we go to this Hollywood party, and this guy, Bentley Evans, his name changed my life. Bentley Evans is best remembered because he was the co-producer of the Jamie Foxx show on Fox. And so my buddy goes, I'm going to introduce you to Bentley. You talk to him. He's going to teach you everything you need to know. Now, fortunately, Bentley had a few cigars. You're his friend, then you're down with me. What do you want to know? Well, I got this studio and I'm about to make shows. And he goes, this is how you do it. This is how you make the show. This is how you go to NAPD to license it, right? And you got that residual stream, my favorite words. And he goes, and when your shows get bigger, this is how you get the celebrities to be. And he breaks it down in this 90-minute discussion. I have no pad, no pen, but this guy's coming off a hit TV show. He's made, you know, hundreds of other shows that he licenses around the world. And he just gave me a free masterclass. So I go home, I write down everything that this guy says to me. And I go, I'm going to do that because I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel. So I get over to NAPTI, I get a distribution deal. And then I realize, oh, it's just about, if I had 10 more shows, the whole industry shifts to streaming. So now you can't make the money off of licensing the shows because everybody wants you on their platform and it's an ad revenue split. And then I go, well, why don't I just start a platform? So now I've got the means of production. Why don't I start a platform? I've got a publicist working for me and I've got relationships with the celebrities. In order to move quickly here in Hollywood up the food chain, instead of trying to make a TV show, why don't I stay on the promotional end of things? In other words, every celebrity has a book that they want to promote, a TV show, a movie, a concert series. Well, if I can get those celebrities and cover red carpets, I'm going to move up in the ranks in this crazy, difficult business 10 times faster than anyone else. Because as I told you earlier in the show, like, I was the worst in my neighborhood at football, right? And we were just talking about this during a commercial break. Because when the guys, when I was growing up, would throw me the football, they would go, it's going to you, Tyrone. I would look at the ball, put my arms out, and hope to God that the ball would magically, and I closed my eyes, right? Okay. Right. I learned later on, there's a system. Your number's up, you track that ball, you get under it, you pull it, you turn, you tuck, you run towards the end zone, you're going to get a touchdown. So that early failure is the thing that said, wait a minute, there's got to be a system in everything. There's got to be a way to be successful in these TV shows. There's got to be a way to be successful in Hollywood. I knew there was a way to millions of dollars in the stock market because I had followed it and my students are following the same thing. So that's what I teach people now, that not only is your wealth in your thinking, but there's a system that works. Learn the system, master it, and you can get whatever it is that you want in life. So today I have this production facility in Burbank. I drive past Warner Brothers every day on the way to my studio and build shows that are systems. And that's how we got the deal with Apple TV and Tubi TV. But we're also developing our own platform that helps us monetize every show that doesn't have distribution. That's kind of exciting.
I was just going to say that is fantastic. That is of wonderful. Your studio is how many square feet?
It's 5,000 square feet. And first of all, hats off to Tyler Perry. Because I talked to you the other day. You're like, how's it going out there? This dude, I'm like, dude, this is the real estate business. We got to fix everything up because we can rent out our soundstage and simultaneously produce our own shows and monetize every aspect of the business. So now I've got celebrities and networks going, could we use your studio? Could I produce a show out of here? And sure, we just have to talk about budgets and all that. So it's another stream. But now I'm at the point in my life, I won't pursue a stream if it's not $1 million. Mm-hmm. Right? Like if I can't get at least $1 million, like that stream belongs to someone else. Now, that is absolutely an amazing way to live a life if you were raised in federally subsidized housing. Right? So my mother just goes, I don't even know what you're doing, but as long as it's legal. So we covered the Oscars last year. My mother's like, you were at the Oscars? I'm like, well, I was at an Oscar viewing party at Brothers Estate. Yes. She goes, I don't even know how you do all of this. But it all goes back to laws of the universe, laws of manifestation. And this is really important for anybody who's listening or thinking about entrepreneurship. Be nice to people.
That's right.
I wish they taught a class at Columbia University in kindness.
Yes. Yes.
Because in business, kindness matters. Help other people for free initially. Be kind to them when they come in. People, when you get to the million, multi-million dollar level, people do business with people that they like and who they feel good around. Mm-hmm. So I like to think a lot of my success, whether it's as a wealth coach or whether it's building these entertainment brands, I know a lot of it comes from being nice to people.
That's right.
And being kind. Right?
Plus, before you were even a millionaire, you got that $1 million smile.
Oh, okay. But I think that's the part of business that is frequently overlooked, especially in a city like New York where everybody's trying to get somewhere. Be the nicest, kindest person in the room. Don't let people take advantage of you, but be willing to help. And if I could give out just a few rules for success here, I think the other thing, other than just kindness and niceness, is like always be a student. So I am down to learn from anybody who's smarter, more successful than me. I will take them to dinner, to lunch, just to learn, right? And there's a way to learn at an accelerated pace from people who are where you want to be. So when Bentley Evans was willing to give me that schooling, for free? Are you kidding me? And this guy has how many shows on the air around the world? Number one, thank him for being generous. Number two, I was smart enough to listen and do it the way that he said, this is how you build a successful TV enterprise. And so that kindness and that student mode gets you places that you could never imagine because you're a fine human being, right? You're just not out for yourself.
That's right. That's right. So we're winding down, unfortunately, but I want you to tell, there's that person sitting out there with $1,000 or $1,500 trying to figure out, well, what should I do with this money? Should I put it in a bank or what? What advice would you give that person who's holding $1,000 or $1,500 right now?
This is the beauty of the financial markets. All you need is $500 to go open an account at Schwab or E-Trade. But you have to make it your business to get the financial education you did not get in high school or college. And the reason that America doesn't financially educate people is because the school system here is about raising the working class. Right? We're taught how to get a set of skills to go to work for someone else. We're not taught how to get a set of skills to become multimillionaires. So you have to therefore seek that education outside of the traditional way of approaching things. And I don't care if you have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or PhD, you were probably never taught how to be wealthy, right? You just have to want it and keep an open mind because $1,000 is a great place to start. If you open an online trading account with $1,000 and you could put $250, $500 in each month and you learn a system for picking good stocks, you're going to be wealthy because money just adds up. It does what you tell it to do, right? So $1,000 is a great place to start, but commit to the process of learning how to choose good stocks and you'll notice 6 months in, your money will grow. A year in, your money will grow even better. 2 years in, you'll be getting residual income from those stocks in the form of something called dividends, right? Then there's a stock split. By the way, most people don't know Chipotle is on June 26th splitting, right? 50 for one. It's the largest stock split in the U.S. stock market. I'm trying to tell people because the shares in a split, they usually go to half the price.
Wait, let me write this down. June what?
June 26th.
June 26th. Okay.
Chipotle shares right now are $3,000. They're going to go down to $60 a share.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gee, Keith, that is extraordinary. Everybody listening to this show or watching the show right now, if they have an online trading account, $60 a share. We could all be in on that. So the key to your financial success is keeping that open mind and that willingness to learn. And you never know where your life is going to take you. But I can tell you, having experienced it, it's going to be extraordinary. And by the way, I know we're getting out of here. I just have to say, like, having money is 1,000 times better than not having money. Right? You know, they say, oh, those rich people aren't happy. Oh, no, we're happy. Believe me. We're happy. We eat a lot of shrimp. We go to a lot of sushi restaurants. I was in a private jet club. I'm happy. Believe me. Because I know what it's like not to have it. And I've also learned, like, you got to understand the tax code. Like, how do I do all that legally and make it tax deductible? So all these things that they tell you at church or wherever that rich people aren't happy. Oh, we're very happy. Very happy. Come join us. We'd love to have you in the club.
Wow. Well, you know, this has been really wonderful. And unfortunately, we're running out of time, but you and I get a chance to talk all the time. And
I can't come back on Harlem. This is my one time appearance.
We'll have you back. We'll have you back.
I thought we were good.
We'll have you back. But this has been wonderful. And I just want you, before we close, I got about a minute and a half left.
Okay.
Do you have any regrets?
No, because there's only learning. I've made decisions I thought were great. They weren't. I learned from them. So how could I regret that? Fantastic. As long as I'm in student mode and I'm always learning, like that deal didn't go well or the agreement with this person, what did I learn from that? I'm good. No, it's true.
Well, hey, this is great. And you know, I know you could be any place else right now, but you decided to spend the time with your old buddy, G. Keith Alexander. And I really, really appreciate you, Tyrone. I love you, brother. And thank you so very, very much for coming to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. And ladies and gentlemen, when you get a chance, go to his website, The Wealthy Investor, and help yourself out. Okay. And don't forget to download our app. Our app is Harlem America. Mm-hmm. And you can download it for your TV and your mobile. And we'll see you next week on What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. Have a great day and a better one tomorrow. Unless you made other plans. Bye.
Thanks for listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. We'll be back next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, that's 1 p.m. in New York, on the Voice America Variety Channel and the Harlem America Digital Network. Thank you for listening.